a little bit.
Yud Beis
Amid Aleph, four lines from the end of the page. In the English, it's 12a4. The Gemara, because otherwise it's a middle, we're not going to get it. Okay, the Gemara says, Shh, who gavin the Agdish Bavna the Kuchla? There's a guy that did Kedusha with a woman with a blue stone. A very expensive, well, not very expensive, we'll see, it's a very cheap stone. So, the question was, is it a good, valid Kedushin or not? What's the question? Was it worth a penny or not? Was it worth a pruta? So, Yosef Rav Chista v'kom Shailei, Rav Chista was sitting down and evaluating the stone. He is b'shava pruta in, he said like this, if it has a shava pruta, the Kedushin is valid. Eloi, loi, and if not, not. Okay? The problem over here, Rashi says, is that meanwhile another man gave the woman Kedushin. It's a very interesting world those days. The guy gives this thing to the woman. He says, Arat Mekudeshesli. Rav Chista is debating if it's a pruta, it's good Kedushin. The witness is everything. You know, the only question is the value of the stone. Okay. Meanwhile, the guy went, the woman went, and accepted Kedushin from somebody else. Now, if the first Kedushin is valid, the second Kedushin is invalid. If the first Kedushin is invalid, then the second Kedushin is valid. So, like, what are you doing over here? So the Gemara asks, V'lezli shava pruta loi, the Chista said a statement that if it doesn't have a shava pruta, it's not a good Kedushin, right? But the Gemara said, V'amar Shmuel chashinan, but we learned before in the Gemara, Shmuel said, maybe somewhere else is worth a pruta. Remember, Shmuel said, maybe it's worth in India a pruta. So how could Rav Chista definitively say that if it's not a pruta, it's not a good Kedushin, maybe somewhere else it is worth a pruta? And the Gemara says, Rav Chista lo yisavel le Shmuel. Rav Chista doesn't hold the Shmuel. He argues in Shmuel, and he says, we're not afraid, maybe it's worth some more somewhere else. Okay? So meanwhile, Amalei imei, Rav Chista came to the conclusion, it's not a shava pruta. And therefore the second guy's kedushin is valid. Right? The first kedushin is invalid, so the second kedushin is valid. So what happens, the mother, the first guy came and said to him, Hahu yemed kitcha, the day that my son did kedushin with this woman with the blue stone, have a shava pruta, it was worth a pruta. This is already, let's say, a little while after. Yeah? So the mother of the first chosen says to Rav Chista, 1 minute. The day the guy, my son, did Kedushin, it was with the pruta. Maybe now it's not, when Rav Chista is analyzing it. But she said, at the time of Kedushin, it was with the pruta, so it should be a valid Kedushin. Amalei, so Rav Chista answered her, Lav kol kamino da'asar abasra. You're not believed to forbid this. The girl and the second husband. You basically have chesed, you're not believed whatever you're saying. You tell me it was worth the pruta then, you're not believed.
Wait a minute, but it says here the stone was worth the pruta.
Huh?
But the value decreased.
Right. In other words, the mother of the boy said, it when he gave the kedushin, it was worth the pruta. Now it's not, but then it was. So Rav Chista said, you're not believed to say what you're saying.
She's stating a fact or no?
She's stating a fact. So Rav Chista said, you're not believed with your facts.
But
so the Gemara says, 1 second. So the Gemara says, where do we find a similar case? So the Gemara says, this is a very funny story. Lav Hainu Yehudas, the Vesud Rabchia had a wife by the name of Yehudas. That was her name. The Havalei Tzah Leida. She was a very, very painful labor. She was having a baby, and she was very, very painful labor. Amalei, so at the end of the birth, so she says to her husband, you know something? Amelie A, my mother told me, Kibul Bechavu Kedushin Bizudrata. Rav Chista's wife said to her husband, you know something? My mother told me that when I was a kid, my father accepted Kedushin for me from somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
So therefore, I'm not allowed to be married to you. It's called postpartum depression. She said to her husband, you know something? This kid's a mamzer. I'm not allowed to even marry to you because I'm already mekudeshes to somebody else when I was a kid. Amalei Serbchia said to his wife, guess what, honey? Lav kol kamina de imach da'asach alayu. Your mother's not believed to forbid you to me either. Your mother's not believed And therefore,
the wife said, the mother said this.
No, Rav Chiya said to his wife, yeah, your mother is not believed to say what she said.
Even your mother.
Oh, yeah.
Even your mother. He said, in simple, he said, my mother-in-law is not believed.
Parents have the power to do this?
A father could accept kedushin of a kid under bas mitzvah. It's a pasuk in Chumash. So same thing over here. Rav Chista said to the mother of the chassan, of the first chassan, you're telling me that the stone the day of the kedusha was worth a pruta. I'm telling you it wasn't.
He's nullifying a fact. How could he do that? Either it was or it wasn't.
She's saying testimony, and she's not believed to say what she said. That's all very simple. If she wasn't here,
it depends what, how much was the value in that.
Rav Chista saying you're not believed to say whatever you're saying.
Because he's so adamant to keep the second kedushin together, the second kedushin together.
Because it's a single witness to testify that the woman is forbidden and not forbidden for someone else. She's not believed.
It's a woman too.
Well, if it's be'ed echad, she would be believed.
It was actually not worth the pruta. It was a possibility that it wasn't.
It doesn't matter. Rav Chista ruled it wasn't. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. The Gemara's not done with the story yet. Bottom line is, Rav Chista ruled the first kedusha was invalid because it wasn't a pruta. Even though the mother said it was, he said, you're not believed. It's not a pruta. Therefore, the second kedusha is valid. Right? Now, Amle Rabban Rav Chista. So Rav Chista, Rabban said to Rav Chista, I don't understand. Ha'ika sadi be'idis, the yada bahu yema have a bashava pruta. They said to Rav Chista, 1 second. Okay, the mother-in-law is not believed. But we know there are witnesses in a different city that were there at that time of Kedushin, and they said that it was worth a pruta. They said it was worth a pruta. So Rav Chista answered, Hash the meal and lesson to come on. Are they here now? No. Therefore, there's no witnesses. Rav Chista was pretty strong in this. You know what you're dealing with? You're dealing with a shal of Eishasish, but we'll soon see in the Gemara says.
In the meanwhile, the second marriage is on hold?
No, second marriage is valid.
They got married, they moved in, that's it.
Yeah,
right.
We'll see in the Gemara what the Gemara is going to say. So Rav Chista said, if the witnesses are not here, you telling me there's witnesses is worthless. And the Gemara says, that's the case of Rav Chanina. What's the case of Rav Chanina? There's a story that a woman was, a woman said she was kidnapped, but I wasn't violated. Okay, now the din is like this. We learned this before. Shmuel's daughter, another story. The Gemara says, if a woman is captured, taken in captivity, we assume she was raped, because the captors used to rape the women. What's the din if she's an Ashes Kohen? She can't stay married to the Kohen. Whatever the story was, but a woman who herself says, I was kidnapped, but I wasn't touched, then she's believed. Because there's a rule in Torah, Pesha Asad, Pesha Hitter. The same mouth that you're believing to forbid, then you have to believe it to permit. In other words, if there's witnesses that the woman was kidnapped, she's not believed to say, I'm clean. But how do we know she was kidnapped? Because she said so. So if you're going to believe it that she was kidnapped, then you have to believe it that she was clean. So the Rav Chanina's case was, the woman came and said, I was kidnapped, but I'm clean. I wasn't touched. So, what happened? So somebody said, Eidel Betzad Istin. He said like this, the witnesses that she was kidnapped are in Istan. V'tiyasin, you're going to forbid her? In other words, what did Rav Chanina say? Are they here now, the witnesses? No. Because somebody asked Rav Chanina, 1 minute. There are witnesses that the woman was kidnapped, but they're not here. So Rav Chanina says, so what? Are they here now? No. Do they exist? No. Therefore, she's pure. So therefore, Rav Chista said like this. It's a very interesting thing. First of all, Rav Chista disbelieved the mother that says it was a pruta. Then the people said to her, but there are witnesses that there was a pruta, but they're not here now. So Rav Chista said, tough luck. They're not here now. There's no witnesses. So therefore, what did Rav Chista paskin? Rav Chista paskined that the woman is married to the second guy, and the first kedusha is completely invalid. Okay? So Gemara says, Abaye v'Rava leisvira lo Rav Chista. Rav Chista, Abaye and Rava said, they don't hold like Rav Chista, that says if the witnesses are not here, we don't believe them. Abai Novi said, even though they're not here now, we still believe them. Why? By the captives, we believed the woman that she was clean, even though there's witnesses somewhere. He said, very simple. You know why you could be lenient by the captured case, the kidnapped case? The menavla nafsha gabe shaptoi. Because a woman will make herself look disgusting not to get raped. In other words, like this. Well, the woman says I was kidnapped, but I'm clean. We believe her. I had his witnesses somewhere else, but by a captive, we're going to be lenient. Why? Because she'll do everything possible to look disgusting and ugly that they shouldn't rape her. But over here, by Eishes Ish, Neko by Eishes Ish, do you want to be Neko by an Eishes Ish? In other words, by Shvuya, it's not as strict as Eishes Ish. What was the case by? The witnesses somewhere else that the woman was kidnapped, yeah? So he says, so what? Over there, the witnesses are not here, we believe her. Why? Number one, it's not an Eishes Ish. You're not talking about a married woman story, right? Took is she a psula, not a psula? Can she marry a kohen? Can she not marry a kohen? You're not talking about Eishes Ish. Secondly, by Shvuya, it makes sense that the woman will do everything possible not to be raped. But are you going to be lenient by an Eishes Ish? So they argued on Avchista, and they said the woman cannot stay married to the second guy, and she's probably married to the first guy. But the Gemara concludes, and it says, Ishtor Mahim Ishpacha Besura, their descendants. So what happened to Pearl? The guy listened to Avchista's track. So she moved in with the second guy. Right? Because Avchista said the first Kedusha was worthless. The Rachachom argued on Avchista. And they said it's possible the first Kedushin is good. Now, their kids from the second marriage, therefore, would be maybe Mamzadim. At least doubtful Mamzadim. If the first Kedushin was valid, and she moved in with the second guy, then the kids are Mamzadim.
And she can't get back to the first
one. Right. So the Gemara says, Ishtar Mehish Mishpacha B'Surah, they're descendants of the family in Surah, Uparsha Rabbanan Minai, and Rabbanan refused to let them marry people. But the Gemara says, V'lav mishum desfira lekishmu, not because they hold like Shmuel that maybe it's worth somewhere, a prut of somewhere else. The reason why the Chacham were afraid, because of Abai and Rav's din, that said their aid is somewhere else, that says it was a pruta, we have to believe them. Or at least doubtfully believe them. So the bottom line of the Gemara is, Chacham disagree with Rav Chista. Rav Chista maintained his din, that the first Kedusha was invalid because the mother-in-law was not believed. There's no witnesses here to say there are witnesses somewhere else, we don't believe them. Chacham argued on him, right? Abai and Rava argued on Rav Chista, and therefore, the Gemara says the Rabbanan did separate from that second guy's children because of Safik Mamzeirim. But not because of Shmuel, because of Bayan Rav, that said you have to trust the witness.
But if he was the Rav, and there was no definitive halacha at that point, and the Tanoim or the Amoraim made their own halacha as they were wrong, no?
They didn't. What do you think? They made up stories as
they
what they ate for breakfast that morning.
Wasn't like that?
Rav Chista Paskin, the woman's mutter.
And that's halacha.
And they, but they argued and said she's an Eishes Ish.
How could Acham say that if there's no testimony from the witnesses? How could they?
No, there's people saying that there are witnesses somewhere else.
So what?
What do you mean, so what?
Well, so what?
So therefore, it has to be a doubtful Kedushin.
There are witnesses about witnesses, so what? It's so far removed from the court.
Why didn't they go get those?
To interview these people?
But the Gemara says like this, if there are witnesses somewhere else that would testify, if those witnesses came here, if they came here, and they said it was a pruta, would those kids be mamzeirim? The second kids?
Yeah.
For sure. Right?
Okay.
So now the Gemara says, at least they're doubtful mamzeirim. They're doubtful mamzeirim.
But that's, of course, if you're willing to credit the idea that there are witnesses elsewhere that would testify.
Yeah, but that is credible. People said there's witnesses that testified that there are witnesses somewhere else. So Rav Chista said, if they're not here, they're not here. And he brought a case from the captive, right, the girl that was captive. Abai and Rava said, you can't compare the two cases. Over there you could be lenient because the girl, we assume, would do everything possible not to be raped. It's not dealing with Eishes Ish. Here you're dealing with Eishes Ish. How can you just say that because the witnesses are not here now, we don't care about it? In monetary issues, by the way, you know, there's a din in Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, whatever, all the places. Let's say I have a monetary dispute with you. I say you owe me money. Yeah? And I have no legitimate proof. So I say to Bezin, you know, in New York I have witnesses. In New York, Bezin says to the guy, listen, you bring the witnesses here, we'll talk. Until you bring them here, we're not talking. But that's monetary cases.
Well, why should that just be?
This is Eishes Ish. This is the severity of a married woman, of adultery. How could you be lenient and let the woman marry a second guy?
So you get to the bottom of it, and I go get the witness.
You're demanding proof. That's the stringency is in the proof that you require. The issue is so important, you need to have unassailable proof.
Yeah, but at least on a doubt, you shouldn't be allowed to let her get married.
Let whoever has a case to make.
But Avchista didn't even say you need to bring the witnesses. Rav Chista disqualified them just because they're not here now. Maybe tomorrow they'll come.
Okay, so what? Maybe they'll come in a month. So what? The court is in session now.
What? Yeah, but how could you allow a woman who's an Eishes Ish to go marry somebody else? Maybe the witnesses are going to... What is it going to be if the witnesses show up?
Well, what? You know, if...
You know what she has to do? Those kids would be mamzeidim.
They're treated... Okay, so...
And then the woman would have to leave the second husband. She couldn't stay married to the first husband. Okay, and everybody loses by it. So they say to Rav Chisra, why are you playing games like this?
He should have.
How could you be so lenient?
He should have forced the first one to divorce and then move on.
No, but if she lived with the first guy, second guy.
No, before she let her.
No, Rav Chisra says she doesn't even need a get from the first guy. Rav Chisra Paskin, it's not a shava pluta. And that's it.
A blue stone, how could anything not be Shavapruta? I mean, I'm laughing by this.
You ever hear Cracker Jacks? You know the Cracker Jacks means?
Nothing. Pruta is, we think Pruta is nothing.
Pruta in those days was not nothing. Pruta was valuable somewhere.
A blue stone wasn't worth a Pruta.
Obviously, Rav Chisra came to the conclusion it wasn't. You're asking on a fact. What Rav Chisra said, it wasn't worth the pruta. So somebody said, but the witnesses that are. She said, I don't care.
I'm sorry, I know I'm bothering you. Just one last question about this. If there's a real value, a market value about something, can a Rav Paskin that it's not?
A Rav wouldn't.
It seems like he did.
No! Rav Chisra was sitting and evaluating it.
Well, he's not a jeweler.
Obviously, Rav Chisra was not a
jeweler.
Was he a jeweler? Was he an expert?
Do you think Rav Chisra is a kid that would just think, okay, I don't think it's worth a pruta, therefore it's not? Rav Chisra was evaluating it according to halacha, the way halacha needs to evaluate it. He probably called in jewelers, people, and asked if it was worth or not, and they said no. So they asked him about 2 days ago it was. He said, I don't care what it was 2 days ago. You're not believed to say 2 days ago it was worth a pruta.
2 days ago, the day that
the mother said that whatever it happened, with that day it was with the pruta. So he said, you're not believed to say that. And therefore, I have to go by my present evaluation. Then they said, but there's witnesses somewhere else. He said, I don't care. They're not here. There's no witnesses. But the Gemara says everybody disagreed with him. Abai and Rava disagreed with him. Because they said, it's Eishes Ish, you can't be Mekel like that. Because there are witnesses. By the way, they didn't say the mother-in-law is believed. They said that. The fact that the witnesses in a different city, that you have to be afraid of.
She should never believe your mother.
Never. Okay. So Gemara says, Ahu Gavra, the Aktish, Beshutisa, the other Beshuk. A certain man did Kedushin in the marketplace with a woman with a branch of Hadassim. Okay, today Hadassim are very expensive, by the way. Especially the Tzfas ones. So Rav Acha Bar Huna sent a shaila to Rav Yosef. Okay, 124, 15 lines down. So he asked shaila, "Kai gavin the mai? What's the din? Is it a good kedushin or not?" So Gemara explains the shaila like this. Not the shaila, the answer. Shalach lei, he said like this. He sent him back like this. Nagde Kirav, You have to give him lashes. You have to whip the guy who did this, like Rav's din. That's what I was going to say in a second. There's the Gita Kishmol, and she needs a get like Shmuel. Shmuel said maybe it's worth a pruta somewhere else. Right? So Shmuel's always afraid the Kedusha would be valid. But you give the guy Malkus anyway. Why do you give the guy Malkus? So Gemara says like this. The Rav Mangid are the Mekadish Beshuka. Rav, the Gemara's going to say like 10 things Rav instituted. You whip a guy for doing certain things that are inappropriate things. What are they? Mangid al the Mekadish Beshuka. He said, whoever gives Kedusha to a woman in the marketplace gets whipped. Also, Mekadish Bebiya. If he does Kedusha with intimacy, whip him. Ba'ad Mekadish B'lay Shaducha. If a guy does Kedusha to a woman without first discussing to get married, he just comes over to a woman, gives her a ring, and she takes it. And a husband who nullifies the get after it's sent with a shliach. The din is like this. A man can send a shliach to give a get to the wife. Right? Now, if a man sends a get to his wife, and let's say it takes a day to get, she's a different city, let's say, right? It takes a day for the get to get to the woman. Until the woman gets the get, she's not divorced. Why? Because he, the husband, made the shliach. If a woman made a shliach to accept the get, then the second she gets, the shliach gets it, she's divorced. Because the shliach is her. His shliach is him, her shliach is her, right? Mm-hmm. So if a woman appoints a shliach to accept the get, the second the shliach accepts the get, it's like she accepted it. So she's divorced. Mm-hmm. If the husband makes a shliach to send the get, just like until the husband gives it, she's still married, right? So the same thing, until the shliach gives the get, she's married. Now the case is like this. 5 hours after the husband sends the shliach, the husband says, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want the get. So technically, the woman didn't get the get yet. So the husband could nullify the get.
How it goes to Beis Din?
Yeah, he says in front of Edim, he goes to Beis Din, and he says, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want to give the get.
Even though 8 hours, 10 hours later, she's going
to... Now what's the problem with that?
You have to find the agent.
They didn't have emails in those days. Right. Texting.
No.
She could marry someone else immediately. So she gets.
No, the problem, well, she can't for 3 months anyway. But the problem is, if the guy's mevatel the get, if she gets the get, she's not really divorced.
But she thinks she is.
But she thinks she is. Right. So you can understand what can come from it. So Rav said, any guy that's mevatel the get, I'm going to whip him. Because mm-hmm. It's inappropriate. Also, if a guy serves notice that the get was written against his will. He says, somebody forced me to give, not Bezdin.
It's never a get to begin with.
Right. Or, if somebody harasses a court messenger. Let's say, in a court, let's say, I want to summon you to Dintaita, right? So the court would send a shliach to bring you the summons. So the litigant starts harassing the shliach Bezdin.
Oh boy.
So Rav would give him Malkus because he's representing the court. What are you doing? You know, you don't do that. And a person who's excommunicated for 30 days and doesn't do anything to stop it, in other words, to change his, to do tshuva, that they should un-excommunicate him. If a groom who lives in his father-in-law's house,
after how long he gets
it? Okay, we're not done yet. The Gemara says like this. There, believe it or not, the Gemara says there's an assumption that the mother-in-law loves his son-in-law. And if he's living in her house, they might do something inappropriate. Okay? So Rav gave Malkus for all these types of people. Okay, what's relevant to our Gemara? Rav said that you do Kedushin in the street, even with money, you're going to get whipped. You do Kedusha with beer, you're going to get whipped. You do Kedusha without Shaduchim first, you're going to get whipped. So the Gemara is Shaila over here like this. This guy, what was the Shaila that they sent to Rav Yosef? He sent the Shaila to Rav Yosef, a guy did Kedusha with a woman in the street with Hadassim. Okay? So shall is the kedushin valid or not? That's so he said like this: you need a get or marry her. Why? Because according to Shmuel, maybe that dasma was something approved to somewhere else. So maybe the kedushin is good, right? Secondly, whip him because he did kedushin in the street. That's what Rav Yosef answered him.
What's the problem with
it's good
with
the street?
Huh?
What's the problem with kedushin in the street?
It's not sneers. That's what Rav said.
Goes and gives her a ring. That's
huh?
What's not sneers about that?
Rashi says that it's not sneers.
Kedushin is holy.
Rashi says.
This is
you should pizzas. It's pizzas. Okay.
This is in Narda. This is in Bavel.
Narda is in Bavel. What do you think?
I mean, Rav in Bavel, right?
Yeah, Rav.
And this is after Churban.
Rav was in Surev. Shmuel was in Narda.
Oh, okay. It's okay for
1 minute. 1 minute. 1 second. So the Gemara says, the diet in the Gemara says only if you live there, but Chalif Lay, but if he just passes by, not, he won't give him Malkus. Rav said, if you live in your mother-in-law's house, you're going to get Malkus. Which implies, if you pass through not, so Gemara says, V'ahu chasen d'chol v'ababu d'vei chamur, there was a son-in-law that passed only temporarily in his father-in-law's house, v'nagda Rav Sheshes whipped him. Why? So Gemara says, no. Ahu made them avadai mechamasim minei. Because over there, the mother-in-law and the guy were already fooling around from before. So over there, the Rav Sheshes gave him lashes right away. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. No. Huh?
Why does Rashi say,
what? I said the first son-in-law, no?
When first, not second?
Because that's the way it works. First door, you know. It's like the first grandson, you know, first, whatever. So the Gemara says like this. But Nadoy argues on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said Rav gave Malkus in all these cases, you know, for all these different scenarios. And Nadoy said no. The Kula Leman gave Rav, it's not true, Rav did not give Malkus in any of these cases, only in two. One, the Mekadish Babia, Beloy Shaduchim. If you did Kedusha with Bia without first agreeing, that's when Rav gave Malkus. Or, even if they agreed. But Rav said if you do it with Bia Kedushin, it's Pritzis. So therefore he gave Malkus. So therefore the bottom line is, this guy wouldn't get Malkus. Right? According to Nardar, why would he get Malkus, Rav Yosef said, because he did Kedushin in the street. Hindu Bia, he gave Hadassim. Right? So Nadoi would say, according to Rav, you wouldn't get Malkus.
Perishable things are okay for
anything.
As long as it's.
As long as it's a prut at the time she takes it, and she takes it.
Not for bread.
Well, what was the buying power of a prut in those days?
Huh? What?
What was the buying power of prut in those days?
Sandwich.
Whatever.
Maybe that's chicken sandwich.
I don't know, whatever.
Okay.
But the way Rashi learns over here, it's a Machlis Rashi and Tesef. Rashi learns the case of Mevatel the get, you know, the guy nullified the get, is speaking Rashi, says, when the guy told the Shliach, I'm Mevatel the get. And the Shliach, were afraid the Shliach might give it anyway. So Taisus, if the guy Shliach told not to give it, why should he give it?
Yeah.
So therefore Taisus learns that it's a whole different story.
The so Mevatel the get. Another Shliach to tell the Shliach, the first Shliach not to give?
That would be the same thing. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Ahu gavre the kaddish betzifte the asa. There's a guy that did kedusha with a woman with a mat of myrtle twigs. Another type of... So Amrulay, so they, after she accepted it, woman accepted it, right? So the people said to her, "Halasba shava pruta, it's not worth anything."
To her.
No, 1 second. Amrulahu, so the husband said, the chosin said, "You know what? Tigdi ba'ab zuzim dispa, but inside the myrtles there's 4 zuzim." He said, "There's money," and I was like this. He gives her. He says that at Mekadesh Shli with this myrtle mat. So she accepted it. So the people say to her, one second, it's not a pruta. It's not a good kedushin. So the man said, no, I mean with the money that's inside it. And he had four zoos in the... So now the question is it good or not?
Why not?
Will it not?
It has four zoos in it.
For the same reason you don't give a diamond ring.
Shakauta v'ishtiker. She took it and remained silent. The shail is this a good kedusha or not? The Gemara goes into a very interesting halachic
concept. I'm not sure what the problem is. What
was You'll soon hear what the problem is. Amr, Rava said it's not a good kedushin. It's not a good kedushin. Why? Avishtikus alachamat mois. It's silence after the money has been given. The vachoshtikus alachamat mois. And any time there's silence after receiving of the money, lav klum, he is worthless. Meaning like this. At the time, silence, as a rule, means acceptance. Okay? In other words, if a man gives a woman something, and the woman is quiet, okay, maybe she doesn't want it, silence is acceptance. Okay? If a man gives a woman a kedushin, and she says, I don't want it, then obviously it's not a good kedushin. If she says, I want it, oh, thank you very much, you know, then it's a good kedushin, right? What happens when a woman's quiet? So the Gemara says, shtika is hida. Shtika is acceptance, admission, and everything. In fact, the Rebbe is a whole thing where dafka, by us kedushin, the woman taka stays silent. When you say that, the woman should say yes. Then you know for sure. But there's a whole thing. The dafka, she has to be quiet. That's the minute. She doesn't say a word. So how do you know she's accepting it? Because if she wouldn't want it, she would have to open her mouth. Okay. But the Rav says like this. Silence is acceptance only when you give it, not afterwards. When the guy gave the hadassim, I mean the myrtle, yeah? She didn't know there was money in there.
Maybe she did.
She didn't.
It's about that she didn't.
She for sure didn't. Okay? So when he gave her the money, was she silent? No.
She wasn't?
But I'm saying, but she didn't know there was money there. She didn't know there was money there.
Either way, she was silent.
Right. But she thought she's getting mukadashes from the twigs.
Right.
The twigs are not a shavapruta. So,
as to what shit she thinks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So now, the guy gave her the twigs. When he gave her the twigs, she didn't know about the money. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, there's money in here, become a kodeshes to me. He said, become a kodeshes to me with the twigs. That's not valid because it wasn't a shava pruta. Afterwards, even a minute later, it doesn't matter. The guy says, but there's money in there. Right? And she didn't say a word. So Rava says that silence is not acceptance. And he brings a proof from Halacha that silence after the giving of the money is not acceptance only if the silence is there at the time of the giving.
But if afterwards she said, okay, then that would be valid, even though it's bad yet?
If she said yes, then it would have been good.
But she was silent.
So the first silence...
Yeah, but Rava says if it's silent... No, because... But she didn't know there was money in there. When she found out there was money in there, he didn't give her anything. Right? He gave her the twigs. Right? She gave her the twigs. She thought, oh, the twigs.
And she was quiet.
She was quiet. So Gemara said, but that's not a shava pruta. So now a minute later, the guy says, but there's money in there. She didn't say a word. She didn't say yes. She didn't say a word. So the question is, did she accept the money? Now it's kedushin. The Gavir says, silence is acceptance only at the time of the giving. Here there was no giving. The time of the giving was afterwards.
Is that based on logic?
Is there a point of witnesses needing to attest that this is Shavapruta, the twigs with the money in it without money?
Today, at the chuppah, at the chuppah today, the Rav turns to the witnesses to ask him clearly, because we don't want any monkey business. Okay. Obviously, in Rav Chista's time, like Rav Chista's case before, the blue stone, or this, nobody's evaluating it. The witness had just saw the act of Kedushin. So the Gemara says, if bottom line is a Sheva Pruta, it's good. If not, not. Unless you're like Shmuel, maybe somewhere else it's a Pruta. Right? But the bottom line over here is, when she took, when she accepted the money, it wasn't when he gave it. And Rav Alt Shtika, after the giving of the money, is worthless. And he brings a proof. Amar Rav, Rav says, Mino Aminola. Where do I know this concept from? That silence after the giving is meaningless, is worthless. Where do I know this?
If the though? First giving was worthless, then why not the second one becomes the first one? That's
what, because I'm now he's not giving her anything.
What do you mean? Gave it.
No, since it wasn't worth it.
In other words, she should have given it
if
back.
If a man comes over to a lady on Monday, gives her something, gives her a present.
And he says, hurry up.
No. On Monday, he gives her a present. He doesn't say a word, nothing about Kedusha. Tuesday, he comes to her. He says, you know that money I gave you yesterday? I mean, the present? Hurry up, Mekadeshously, with that money I gave you yesterday.
Okay.
Is that good?
No.
Why not?
Because it wasn't said at the beginning.
Because at the time he gave it to her, that's hers.
Right, it wasn't the thought.
Remember, we learned before in the Gemara, if a guy lends money to a woman, and then he said, with the money I gave you as a loan, become a Kedushas to me. The Gemara says, it's worthless. And Chesh in the Kedushin. Remember, the Gemara said before, you don't, it's not a Kedushin. Right? Bottom line is, here, when he gave it, when she knew she was getting the money, and she accepted it with silence, he didn't give her anything. He gave it to 5 minutes ago, a minute ago, 2 minutes ago, whatever.
Well, since the map wasn't considered pruta, it's considered like he didn't give her anything.
Correct.
Oh, we have a proof of the silence is acceptance in Chumash. When a daughter makes a vow, the father, if he's silenced, is like he's accepted.
Right.
Unless he speaks out that day.
But not always. For instance, Halacha says, if I come of you now and say, Maisha, you owe me $1 million, and you ignore me, is that silence admission? No. It means go, it's like you're an idiot. What are you like? What are you hacking your Chinik? Yeah? But if I take it to Beis Din, and in Beis Din I say, Maisha, you know, you owe me $1 million, and you're silent, that's admission. Sometimes silence means, I'm not even going to reckon with you. That's what silence a lot of times means. Not all silence is admission. Right. If I say, you know, I saw you kill somebody, just stop, you know, and you ignore me, that's not admission. In Beis Din, where it counts, then it's admission. Because you can't be silent. If I tell you in court you owe me $1,000 and you're going to be silent in court, Beis Din says no, that means you admit it. By Kedushin, Rav says, and we're going to see, let's see this case, it's a very interesting case. Tanya says in the Brisa like this. Amalah, a guy says to a woman like this, Kinsi sellers up at Bikotin. I'm giving you this coin to watch for me. Safeguard it for me. Okay? At Bikotin. Because of the Amar, and then he tells her a minute later, his Kachi Levi, you know what? Become a Kadeshis to me with it. So it says like this. Bishas Matan Mois, if he said it, at the time she accepted it, Mekudeshes, then the Kedushin is valid. La'acha Matan Mois, after the giving of the money, like 10 minutes later, Ratzasa, if she wants it, Mekudeshes, she's Mekudeshes. Lay Ratzasa, ain't a Mekudeshes. If she doesn't want, she's not Mekudeshes. And the one's going to say, what does that mean? Okay, but the bottom line is like this. If I lend you money, and a day later, I say to you, become Mekudeshes to me with that money I lent you yesterday. The verse says, it's totally invalid. Because money I gave you to as a loan is made to spend. So right now, I'm giving you nothing. I gave you yesterday, it's like I gave you yesterday. Right? I can't come today and do Kedushin to you with what I did, what I gave you yesterday. Because now I need to give you at the time of Kedushin. What happens if I give you something to watch? Yeah, a man says to a woman, do me a favor, watch this Gemara for me. Okay, you should watch it. Whose Gemara is it still? It's not the woman's. She's only watching it for me. It's my Gemara. Okay? So then the Gemara says, If the guy says to the woman now, you know what, take this gemara to watch. And then he says to her, become a kodeshes to me with it. So the gemara, the braisa says the following din. If it's at the time he gave it to her, it's mukodeshes. If it's later, if she wants, it's mukodeshes. If she doesn't want, it's not mukodeshes. So the gemara says, 1 minute, what does wanting and not wanting mean? The Gemara says, "My ratzasa, my loy ratzasa." What do you mean she wants it not? Do you say ratzasa dama in that she says yes, and loy ratzasa, and if she doesn't want, means she said no. Mechlal deresh. That means the first case when he gives it to her at the same time. Ki amel and loy, when if she says no, it's kedushin. The Braisa said a statement like this: if at the time he gave it to her to safekeep, he says it, it's mukadeshes. Does that mean even if she says no?
No.
Yeah, but that's not what the Braisa is being interpreted as. There's two cases in the Braisa. Okay? A guy gives the woman a gemara to safekeep. Yeah? So gemara says, and then later he says mukadeshes. So the gemara says like this, what are the two dinim? If it's at the time he gave her the money, the Gemara, she's Mekodeshes. If he says it later, if she wants, it's Mekodeshes. If she doesn't want, it's not Mekodeshes. So Gemara says, what does wanting, not wanting mean? Wanting means she says yes, and not wanting, she says no. That means, though, in the first case, when he said it at the time he gave her the money, the Mishnah just said Mekodeshes. But if she says no, how could it be Mekodeshes? In other words, if you're interpreting the second half of the Braisa, that he said it later, that wanting me she said yes, and not wanting she says no, that she says clearly, I don't want this as Kedushin, so how could it be in the first half of the Braisa? It says, if you told it to her, if you gave it to her, and you told it to her at the time you gave her the money, it's always Mekodeshes. But if she says no, how could it be Mekodeshes? You're saying in the first case, it's always Mekodeshes, whether she wants or not. In the second half, it says, if you told it to her later, right, gave it a Gemara to watch, 10 minutes later, you say to her, I got Mekodeshes, see what this Gemara that I gave it 10 minutes ago. So Gemara says, if she says yes, it's Kedushin. If she says no, it's not Kedushin. Right, that's what the Braisa says. But what does the first half say?
That was the silence.
Well, that's because she doesn't own it.
No, but the first case is...
The first case, she doesn't.
At the time he gave it to watch the Gemara, he said, Are I Mekodeshes li? The Braisa says unequivocally, she's Mekodeshes.
Right, because he's giving it to
her. Yeah, but if she says, I don't want it, how can it be Mekodeshes?
Obviously, you can't.
The first half of the Braisa says, she's always Mekodeshes. If he says it at the time. The second half of the Braisa says, if he said it later, right? If she wants, it's Mekodeshes. If she doesn't want, it's not Mekodeshes. Right. So the Braisa says, what does that mean? So the Braisa says, if it means she says yes, it's Kedushin. And if she says no, it's not Kedushin, right? Then what does the first case say? If he told it to her at the time he gave her the Gemara to watch, it's always Mekodeshes.
As long as she accepts.
No! But if she says no, if wanting and not wanting means saying yes or no.
No. If she takes it physically and she doesn't say anything.
That's not the way we're interpreting it, though. Meanwhile, wanting means she says yes, and not wanting, she says no. Right?
What is she doing besides saying yes or no?
Well, she accepts it.
Okay, she's taking
it. If a woman accepts it and she says no, what does that mean?
No, it means no.
Has she accepted it?
She wants it, but she doesn't want to be married.
Right! No, so it's not a good kedushin.
Fine.
But the first case of... Bryce has two cases.
Let's talk about the first
case. The first case is a guy gives a woman a gemara to watch. And at the time he gives it to her, he says to her, Are at Mekodeshesli?
She doesn't say anything.
She accepts it, doesn't say a word, Mekodeshes.
Right, okay.
Okay, now... The second half says, if he told it to her later, If she wants, it's kedushin.
Right.
If she doesn't want, it's not kedushin.
This time it has to be.
Which means later.
This time it has to be bedibur. The second.
So what does she say? Mekudeshes if she says yes. If she says no, it's not mekudeshes.
Right.
That means in the first case of the braisa, that doesn't differentiate wanting or not wanting, means in all cases is mekudeshes, whether she wants or doesn't want. Because the separate the difference between wanting and not wanting, the Gemara only says in the second half of the braisa, when he said it later. But if he gave it to her and said at the same time, you're mekudeshes to me, the braisa says, yeah, mekudeshes. Right? Which implies, even if she doesn't want. But if doesn't wanting means she says no, how could it be kedushin? And that's why you're differentiating between the first case and the second case.
How would you know in the first case if she doesn't want? If there's no dibur involved.
In the second case, there's no mention of getting married.
No dibur
when he landed, when he gave it to
10 minutes later, he says,
Hariat
Mekudeshes.
There's no mistake in the second one. In the first one, if she, how would you know if there's no dibur involved, if she does want or
if the braisa says in din one mukadeshes, in din two, wants yes, no wants no.
Yeah.
That means in the first case, under all circumstances, it's mukadeshes. That's the way it works.
The practical difference is that in the first case, he's giving her something. In the second
and
one, he's landing
the
her something.
But if she says no, how could it be a good kedushin?
If she says no in the first
then you have the same difference between the first and the second case. The Bais is differentiating between the first case and the second case. The first case is always mukadeshes. The second case, if she wants it is, if she doesn't want it, it's not. Right? Now, that's the two dinim. What's the first case? He gave it to her, and at the time he says mukadeshes.
Right.
That means under all circumstances, right, no matter what happens, it's kedushin.
Even if she... Is she silent, though?
We don't know.
Doesn't it?
Oh. It's mekudeshes under all cases. Because where does the braisa say yes and no? In the second case. Which means in the first case, there's no difference between wanting and not wanting. Right? But if she says, I don't want, how can the first case be kedushin?
I have a feeling they're going to come and say, this is not comparable.
Can you clarify when
you can't compare
wanting
these.
And not wanting?
They're going to say, this is not comparable.
can you clarify?
Right now, the Gemara thinks wanting means she says yes, not wanting she says no.
How could it be valid if she takes it and she just says I don't want?
Right.
The first case.
So that's what the Gemara is asking. So obviously that's not what it means. Wanting and not wanting cannot mean she says yes and she says no. Because then how in the first case could it be good if she says no?
It's impossible.
Impossible. So obviously that's not what it means.
Okay.
Wanting and not wanting cannot mean she says yes and she says no. Because if she says no, how could the first case be good?
So their example is referring to something else.
Obviously wanting and not wanting means she's quiet and not quiet.
Quiet means wants.
And not quiet?
Not quiet means she rejects. She says,
that's what
she takes
says.
It and she says no. We go back to
why the over there isn't it good? Because it's after he gave it to her.
No. We wanted
well, let's see, one second. So Gemara says, what does wanting mean? We must say she says yes, and not wanting means she's quiet. If she says no, for all cases can't be good. Right? So we must reinterpret wanting and not wanting. So wanting, the Gemara says, means she says yes. And not wanting means she's silent. If she's silent, why isn't it a good kedushin? Because he said it later. She was silent after the giving. He gave it to her 10 minutes ago. Now he's saying, become a kedushin to me. And now she's silent? We see from there that silence after giving is worthless.
That's his proof.
That's his proof.
So at this point, silence is not valid. She should say yes or no.
Correct.
And
but if she's silent,
doesn't mean anything.
So in the first case, when he gave it to her,
and she was
even
silent.
If she's silent, it's a good kedushin. Because he gave it to her, at the time he gave it to her, she's silent, that's acceptance.
And he's saying,
He said I'm a gracious thing, no?
At the time
she's not saying anything.
At the time of the giving, he says.
Yes. Okay. He's giving it to watch, but he says, I'm giving it to watch for me, but I have a kedushah with it. Then when she's silent, it's a good kedushah. Because she didn't say no, she was silent. Why is the first case good and the second case, so she's silent, it's not good? Because the first case, the silence comes simultaneously with the giving. At the time he gives it, she's silent. So
first,
therefore, the case is Mukadash.
First case is not
right.
Second case is
No, first case is when he gives it to the time and she's silent.
Oh.
The second case, he told her later, and she was silent. So over there, the Gemara says it's not good. You know why it's not good? Because she wasn't silent when he gave it. So Rava says, that's my proof that silence after the giving is no good. Therefore, Rava paskined. When the guy gave the myrtle twigs, and then later he says to her, there's money in it, and later she's silent, Rava says it's not a good kedushin. Why isn't it a good kedushin? Because it was silent after the giving.
And it wasn't a worth the pruta at the time he gave it.
But what, right, what he gave her, the twigs were not worth the pruta. Right. There was money in there.
So it's automatically nullified at the time.
Right.
Pre, what do you call it?
So it wasn't good.
Retroactively.
Retroactively wasn't good.
Hey. No word. No word.
You know, there's a big shaila now coming. It came out there. Rabbanim already going crazy with this.
Yeah.
You know, this Air France jet that blew up.
Yeah.
Said there was two Yidden on the plane.
Yeah.
So now the shaila is, can the wife remarry? They didn't find the body.
Oh, wow.
Or there was the first it started with the first shaila. Can you start the mourning process? Can they start the mourning process?
What are they saying?
Because you don't have a body. Maybe the guy's still alive. How can you start mourning? So they paskin meanwhile that they could start the mourning process, but the aguna they're not going to be makel so fast. They're going to come out at the end. They're going to come out with a hetter, but they're waiting still to find the body. They're always finding more bodies now.
Oh, they're finding bodies.
They're finding four more today.
Yeah,
whatever.
Found a few.
This is going to be a very big shiloh because it's Maim Shein Lo Amsof.
What's that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there.
There's a din like this in Evidence and Simon Yudzayin where it speaks about, you know, if a husband disappears, when the wife could remarry or not. So Gemara says like this: if there's a body of water that you can see all around it, you can see all the edges. And let's say halacha says if you're half an hour underwater, that's it, you're dead. For half an hour, you can't breathe underwater. More than, let's say that, right? And you're standing by the water, and a guy drowned in that water that you can see all around it. And a guy came up and didn't come up, I mean.
Yeah.
So then the din is, even though you don't find the body, the woman could remarry. Why?
You can't see.
Because if he would have come up, you would have seen it.
Right.
What happens, water where you cannot see the end, like the ocean, or a massive lake. So Gemara said, maybe he came up in a different part that you can't see.
Right.
Maybe he came up in China. In Japan.
So
the din is, in Mayim She'en Lo Hamsof, water that has no end to it, if a guy drowns, the woman's in a guna.
Wow.
And the Atlantic, where they...
But they have to find the bodies. They better find them.
They better find the bodies.
And they don't never find the body, what happens then? You can't get married?
No, if they find a dead body...
But if they can't find the body?
Then you're going to ask, they're going to go crazy.
So what are they going to do?
They're going to do what they did by the World Trade Center.
What
they gave a heter anyway.